another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean, and I'm joined by Macho Man Mike.
Ooh, yeah.
And Aaron.
I'm giving the people's eyebrow.
Yeah.
There you go.
We've got two movies we're going to talk about today. You guys want to start with The Suicide Squad?
Yeah, we'll start
just,
there.
Just, we'll
the
get our
Suicide Wrestler.
Yeah. We'll get our recommendation after that.
Yeah, I just thought about that. I just thought about that, too.
Maybe a little too
meta.
Yeah.
This time.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about James Gunn, The Suicide Squad. I guess it's... I don't know if it's a reboot or if it's...
I mean, they reference the...
It is a sequel,
yeah.
Because the
yeah.
old team dies. Spoilers! Old team dies at the beginning. So, it is a sequel.
Yeah.
It's still the same characters, well, the same leader, Amanda Waller, Rick Flagg. So I would consider it a sequel.
Yeah.
But I think
it clearly references the first one.
Yeah.
They talk about the team, the original team.
Yeah. And I think that the title itself is kind of playing on the way movies are doing it now, especially sequels, where you have like Predator and then The Predator, like it's just stuff like that that I think they were more poking fun at it, like, well, we're not going to call it Suicide Squad 2 or something like that. They're like,
right.
Let's just put a "the" there.
I thought it was kind of more like James Gunn being like, no, this is the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, or like The Thing,
right?
Both the prequel and the standalone itself are both called The Thing.
Right.
One is better than the other in that case also.
But yeah, this is James Gunn's sequel to Suicide Squad 2016, which is awful. Don't watch it. Don't even bother watching it. It's very bad.
It has moments.
Not really.
Yes, it does.
I love Will Smith in it.
The extended cut actually is not terrible.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, well.
Oh,
I was really excited for it, like, it originally, back in 2016, and then after watching it, I was like, oh, that sucked really bad.
Yeah, because we were all riding the hype train of Guardians, and that's what it was supposed to feel like.
I think everybody's expectations were too high.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because we were watching DC try to do a Marvel formula one time, and somehow they still fucked it up.
Yeah.
That's just not how David Ayer makes movies, though. Like, he wasn't making a Guardians movie. He was making his Suicide Squad movie, and then Sony was like, oh, the Guardians are popular. We should try and make it more like that. And then they fucked it all up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's I mean, it had nothing to do with Ayer. He had, from what I hear, he had a good story with that movie. But the studio was like, no, let's make it like Guardians. Let's throw a bunch of songs in the first 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
That you're just gonna hate by the time all this is over. Like, because that opening just goes on and on and on, like introductions of the characters, each getting their own song. I'm like, come on, guys, this is too much.
I mean, it is too much. I liked it, but I can agree that it was too much.
Yeah, like at least in Guardians, like the music in Guardians is diegetic versus in Suicide Squad where it's just shoehorned in for absolutely no other reason than to popularize that concept.
And that's what James Gunn does with this movie too. Every pop song that he has in it, every musical cue that he has in it is diegetic in the movie, so it makes sense for it to be there, unlike we'll just throw Queen in it. Everybody likes Queen. Just throw a Queen song in there.
Oh, we're in Alabama. Throw "Fortunate Son" on while we introduce Killer Croc.
Yeah, like. But yeah, I guess I'll be remiss just to talk about comparing the two movies the entire time. We should talk about the merits of James Gunn's version. I think that it was great. I mean, with the exception of Captain Boomerang, because I really liked him. I thought he was really good in the first movie.
I was
one
so,
of my favorite
I was so mad.
So whenever they made the decision to kill the, like, the, for, what was it, Team X? Or
Team A. Or Team 1 and then Team 2. I forget. They called themselves Task Force X.
Oh, yeah, Task Force X, yeah.
But she had their names as, like, Team A, Team B.
Right.
Okay, yeah, so Team 1, we'll say, gets completely annihilated, with the exception of Rick Flag and Harley Quinn, because obviously you can't kill Harley Quinn, because
Because what's-his-name sold them out, too, though.
Yeah, Blackguard.
Yeah.
Blackguard.
Yeah.
I'll say this.
That was a great scene where he's like, hey, it's me. It's me. And then Pete Davidson just gets his fucking face blown off.
I was wondering about that. I was like, is he causing a distraction? Like, what's going on? And then, nope, he just literally sold them out. And then they're like,
For a second, I thought that he was going to be like, hey, it's me. It's me. I sold you out. And then he was going to be like,
lay them all down.
But then he just literally has his fucking face blown off.
Yeah.
So funny. And then obviously before that we get even more comedy with the weasel just jumping in the water and drowning.
And I was so mad about that because I was like, he was hilarious already.
Don't worry.
Yeah, I know.
It was so smart of James Gunn to get these actors in these roles because. It definitely worked because it put asses in seats to watch this movie only to have those actors killed off in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one I was most disappointed about was Rooker because they made it feel like he was, like they were focusing on Savant and then, nope, he dies in the first 5 minutes. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, he felt very, like even in the trailers, he felt very like a focal point.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they just killed him. I was like, what is. Like, I was just blown away. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, they just, like, have all these joke characters be the ones that die. Like, TDK. Like,
I mean, I knew they were going to die or something. Yeah. Something was going to happen to them because they weren't really even prominent in the trailers.
I mean, we could say the same thing about Polka Dot Man. Nobody knew who Polka Dot Man was before this movie. But he was pretty, like, obviously he was a part of the main team.
Right.
But, like... Having, like, nobody knows who Javelin is or TDK. I've never heard of Blackguard before, you know?
Didn't matter who Javelin was.
TDK.
I laughed so hard.
His arms just floating.
Yeah, you thought he'd do something badass.
They float over and he just, like, slaps them a bunch. Like, doesn't do it.
My favorite bit was when they're just shooting his arms and he's laying on the ground. He's like, ah!
Yeah, like, screaming in pain.
But it makes me wonder, like, okay, so his arms clearly are detached. He can feel the pain. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, why did he die?
He could still survive without his...
Yeah.
I think that they killed him after that.
Somebody did shoot him. Yeah. Like, okay. In the head or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I
couldn't remember, but...
Yeah, the way the whole team dies, I was like, what the... I forget what was... She was, like, an alien.
Mongol.
Like... jumps on the helicopter, ends up catching
on fire. Just immediately starts screaming.
Yeah.
Just like,
and then it crashes, and all the wood splinters just, like, stick into Boomerang. I was like, oh my god, I was like, this is brutal.
Yeah.
And then he gets blown up whenever it crashes.
Every single one of those deaths was so brutal. I was like,
except for maybe the Javelin. He just got shot, like, in the chest. And then he gave his javelin to Harley Quinn.
You must take this.
Oh, that was funny,
too.
She's, like, slapping him in the face. Yeah. For what? Yeah, that's something that I have to say. This movie was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the first... I don't even remember if there was even attempts at comedy in the
original.
There was. Not funny movie. Not a funny movie. This one was hilarious.
Yeah, this one had a lot of... I think one of my favorite... We're jumping ahead a little bit here, but one of my favorite interactions is her and the president they're in Cuba, aren't they?
Well, it's supposed to be, like, a Cuba stand-in. Yeah. It's called Corto Maltese.
Actually, that island exists.
Oh, I was going to say, I've heard that.
Yes, yeah. Corto Maltese does exist.
Well, this is obviously a Cuba analogy.
Yeah, yeah. So, when she's, like... with him the whole time and everything, and then he explains, like, his plan and everything, and he just turns around and she just goes, BAM! And just, like, shoots him right in the heart, and then goes into her whole thing. Like, I said, if I saw any red flags, I would do the smart thing and murder him. And then, like, after he dies, she's like, I can't believe that had a bullet in it. She just, like, picked it up, like, off of one of the, like, the pylons. And,
well, he had, like, a display of guns or something, yeah.
Yeah, that's one bit. So, obviously, the film is told not in chronological order. It's like, multiple times, it time skips forward and backwards at times. But that was one sequence where everyone's like, what is this Harley Quinn bit? Like, I don't understand what this is. And that's, like, a huge portion of time that they allot to a fucking joke of her just killing him.
I thought that was
like that's something James Gunn just committed to that joke so fully. He's like, we're gonna set up this fake love interest thing, and it's gonna be the punchline of a joke, or just fucking murdering him.
R.I.P. to that beautiful thing between your legs.
I mean, it was a good, it was definitely a good joke. Like, that's the thing that I've noticed with James Gunn, is he really never misses the mark when it comes to, when it comes to what he's trying to do, he never misses the mark.
I assume most of the comedy is done by him, or some, you know.
Yeah, he does a lot of writing with it.
I'm pretty sure he wrote this, so.
But, I mean, he's
yeah, because it's basically from the mind of James Gunn.
Yeah. He basically has become one of my favorite
directors. Easily.
Like, yeah, he's great.
With Guardians and then this. Like,
Guardians 2. Fantastic. Super. Have you ever watched Super with Rainn Wilson?
I think I might have.
That's a good one, too. That's also his. He has four superhero movies now under his under his belt. There was something I was going to say about... it was about Bloodsport and Peacemaker. When they're having the pissing contest of them killing people in the camp.
Yeah, that's another great that's another huge allotment of time to one joke that they're the freedom fighters.
Well, and then the other, I mean, there's a lot of, like, good interaction between Idris Elba and John Cena. Like, whenever he says something about, or he shoots the guy.
Yeah,
and he
shoots the guy.
Yeah, he shoots him and he goes, he'll live.
No, he's like, non-lethal.
Yeah, non-lethal.
And he's like, decompressed bullets.
Decompression bullets. And then he blows up and he goes, nobody likes to show off. And he goes, unless what they're showing off is dope as fuck. And then Idris Elba turns around and goes, fuck, that's true. That shit is hilarious.
I know that some people were saying they didn't like John Cena in the movie.
I thought he was great. He's my favorite character in the whole movie, I think.
Idris Elba was also amazing.
He
was a great stand-up.
And they played off each other very well.
I really liked the interaction with Bloodsport and, I'm not going to remember her name, the
Rat Catcher.
Okay.
Rat Catcher 2.
I was going to say Rat King.
Kinda.
That's the Turtles, though. But, I really liked their...
They all had pretty good arcs.
Like
in
the bus specifically, where they're, you know, talking.
I don't know exactly what you could say Harley Quinn's arc is, per se, but...
Yeah. We already saw her arc in Birds of Prey. She had her own movie.
Yeah.
We really didn't need anything past.
She was just there to...
Yeah, Bloodsport had a great one with, obviously, the conflict of his daughter, and then he saw his daughter in Ratcatcher, so he was, like, became a protector of her.
Right.
And then, Polka Dot Man was, like, basically made into a monster, and he's like, I just want to be a superhero, and then he became one, which was nice fulfillment of him
him seeing his mother everywhere.
That's another great joke. I think that Polka Dot Man was my favorite character in the movie.
Polka Dot Man is a very good character.
It's a very ridiculous and quite crazily overpowered.
That's the funny thing. It's like, they take this absolutely no name, like, nobody in 1,000 years knows who Polka Dot Man is, and they make him one of the most overpowered characters. Like,
I mean, it just goes through anything made of matter, really. Like, there's nothing.
whenever they have, like, the power dampening collar on him, and they're like, oh, what's that? It's a power dampener so that, you know, he doesn't go out of control. It's like, his name is Polka Dot Man. Like, what is this? He throws polka dots, but they literally, like, disintegrate everything. See this line
there where he's like, what's he do, throw polka dots at people?
Yeah. And turns out that's exactly what he does. There was another good line around that time where they're talking about Idris Elba's character, and they're like, his father raised him as soon as he was born to kill, blah, blah, blah. He could turn anything into a deadly weapon. And then they go meet Peacemaker, yeah, and they're like, his father raised him. And then he goes, what the fuck is this? And then Amanda Waller's like, what? And he goes, he literally does the same thing I do.
Yeah, because Amanda Waller's like, we have each of these people specifically, they have a job to fulfill. It's like, we have them, we curated your team specifically for, you know, with their each individual skills, and she introduces Peacemaker the same way she introduced him, and he's like, are you taking a piss? He does exactly what I do. Yeah. He's like, yeah, but I do it better. How do you do it better? Smaller bullets.
Smaller bullets. Go through which the hole in your right shot.
Yeah, I could shoot through your holes without touching the corners. But with that obviously has its payoff during their climax, well, Peacemaker's climax of the film, whenever we find out that his special purpose was to make sure that Project Starfish was completely covered up, destroyed. Yeah,
just kept a secret.
Which, I thought that was great. It falls in line with Peacemaker's motivation, where he's like, well, it would cause an international incident, and I'm about keeping the peace.
Right.
So, obviously, if I have to kill you, I'm gonna do that. And he was gonna kill Ratcatcher, and they have their duel.
Yeah.
And Bloodsport shoots right through his bullet.
Right through a hollow point. Out the other side, right into his artery.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Miraculously survives.
Somehow survives.
Well, he's John Cena.
That's true. So that sets up his TV show.
That's right.
I bet that'll be pretty good, though.
Yeah.
What makes Peacemaker a good character is that he plays off the other characters. And he was, like, a good guy. Like, he was, like, kind of, like, a good guy.
Yeah.
But, obviously, his motivation gets in the way.
I was kind of confused why he was in the prison.
Because he is, like, a terrorist, I assume.
Okay.
Like John Cena?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he tries to keep the peace. I'm sure that he definitely has killed people.
Okay.
Well, he says, I'll kill any man, woman, and children to do that.
I was going to say, he does have a few psychotic moments where he's like, I'll kill any man, woman, child. Like, he did say he has killed children before in the movie, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Which is probably why he was in prison.
But I think another standout of the movie would be Sylvester Stallone as King Shark.
I loved it.
That's so good.
Yeah, he was funny.
Does anyone else have any more questions?
Yes, no, not way.
Hand. Yes, that is your hand.
And then he's like, that's right.
And then the, whenever he finds those, like those little leech squid things.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, well, the stupid's friends. Like, and then he's like, chase them around. Then when they break free, he's like, friends. And then they just like latch on to him and start eating him.
So I'm convinced that he just can't die.
Yeah.
No. King Shark will not die.
He fell out of that tower that was how tall? Yeah, like,
it, he fell shark like skin, 50 stories.
Isn't shark skin like super like strong?
Yeah, but bones aren't.
Yeah, not just that. He fell out of that 50-story building. I mean, the building collapsed on top of him. Yeah.
Sharks are mostly cartilage, though. So, I mean, cartilage is hard to...
And the bullets Corto Maltese military were shooting him were just, like, bouncing off of him.
Yeah.
And then he got thrown by Starro into another building. And
Bloodsport was shooting him point blank shotgun.
Yeah, when he tried to eat Ratcatcher.
Yeah. Nom nom.
Yeah, because then he, like, charged him, and then he was like, BAM! And, like, shot him back.
Yeah.
And then I love that shot where, Nanawe picks up the guy, and it's, like, during the rainstorm, and he just goes, like, rips him in half. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, they did give away some pretty awesome moments in the trailer. I mean, like, the whole, eat a bag of dicks.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. If this beach was covered in dicks...
And you told me I had to eat every single one to protect liberty, I would do it. Why would there be dicks all over the beach? Who knows why madmen do what they do?
One thing that I wish they hadn't spoiled in, from the trailers, I mean, the, even though they kind of spoil it, it wouldn't be a spoiler really in the movie, but like the Starro thing, like they have that, I think the first trailer was him breaking out of...
yeah, you see him like on a small Jotunheim. Screen or something. Yeah.
Yeah, he like broke out of Jotunheim and it was like, oh, that's the fucking end of the movie there.
Yeah.
Like if they were just like if they didn't spoil that and they're like, oh, we're, you know, going in to stop Project Starfish... And then I think the first time they talk about it, they show this the Americans capturing him in space. I don't remember. Oh, it was whenever the Corto Maltese guys go in and they go into Jotunheim and Peter Capaldi tells them what's like in there after their coup. And then like that's obviously like, oh, okay, an alien, whatever. But then obviously you're not going to expect it to be like, you know, however many stories it was, tall. Because they mention it's like, oh, every time he gets a new person, it like he grows in size or whatever.
Peter Capaldi,
there
right.
There we go.
But, yeah, that, I feel like whenever Starro, like, slams on the glass, that was supposed to be, like, a huge reveal. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, this thing is fucking massive now. But
right.
Obviously...
Which,
was...
if you didn't watch the trailer, then you would know that...
Yeah, I just... I do hate how they give some things away. In trailers. But.
Yeah.
Start doing away with them.
Yeah. No more trailers ever.
Yeah. No more. You hear that?
Put an end to
just,
trailers.
Yeah. Just put a synopsis online.
We are here to cancel trailers.
You could have like the first teaser trailer that lets you know that the movie's coming out. But after that, no more trailers.
Yeah. I remember. I remember that Rise of Skywalker's trailer was better than the movie.
We don't talk about
that. I mean, there's a handful of cases where the trailer's actually better than the movie. Like,
yeah,
I
like
watched
Suicide
the trailer
Squad.
On, yes.
That trailer is awesome. And that movie is dog shit.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's that bad.
I don't think so.
It's not the worst movie I've ever watched.
Right.
I don't know. It's pretty bad.
I don't know what the worst movie is I've ever watched. I probably already forgot about it.
Yeah.
If it's the worst movie you've ever watched, you'd remember, because you would hate it.
I actually have an answer to that.
Why right. Why wouldn't I just block it out, though?
I think you'd remember.
Redneck Zombies.
That does sound bad.
It is bad.
That sounds terrible.
It's literally somebody with a home video camera made a movie in the 90s. But somehow it got distributed, because my uncle rented it from the local video store.
God. Yeah, do we have any other thoughts on the Suicide Squad?
I hope that they... I mean, aside from, obviously, the Peacemaker TV show, I hope that they... Like, maybe James Gunn writes another one, and... I don't know if they'll have the same team, but, like, I think that...
Now, I like to... That's what I liked about this one, was it wasn't the same exact characters.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't the same exact characters in the characters that we had, because I hated Rick Flag in the first one.
Oh, yeah.
He was couldn't fucking stand it.
Totally different.
He was one of my favorite characters in this. Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention that. Rick Flag dies.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it was actually pretty sad.
That's another thing he died. That I want
to
say. Like, so this movie is good because there was stakes to it. So obviously we know that the very
nobody
first
had
plot scene,
armor.
Yeah,
really.
The very
literally
first,
no one.
The very first scene where they all fucking die. That's supposed to be a joke.
Yeah.
But like main characters died.
Yeah.
Like Rick Flag died. Polka Dot Man died. It gave a sense of urgency. Like oh,
yeah.
Like they like some of them. It's the Suicide Squad. Some of them can die.
Yeah.
Like obviously they're not going to kill Harley Quinn because that's how it is. But like
if
all
anybody
the other,
has plot armor, it's Harley Quinn.
Yeah. But like everybody else, it's like they could straight up just die.
Yeah.
Like we're led to believe that John Cena dies. Obviously he doesn't. But
yeah, and Greg.
I was kind of bummed because I thought for a minute that Flag and Harley Quinn had like started building a bond, and then Flag dies. I was like, oh, I wanted to see what that was gonna turn
yeah,
into.
I really like Rick Flag in this one. Rick Flag, because he seemed just like out, like an outcast, just like the rest of them this time.
Well, yeah, and he honestly like I think after working with them for so long, he just sort of like became one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I hated.
Yeah, was
Flag
he still
one.
Still part of like the agency?
Yeah, he was still a part of like
was...
the army.
Okay,
yeah. So
I didn't know if he, like, did something where he actually became a prisoner.
No, himself. No. He was, like, the commanding officer. Colonel. He was still a colonel.
Yeah, okay. Wasn't it him and Scott Eastwood in the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, like, the team leaders or whatever. Team leads.
Yeah. That's all I have to say, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie. I don't know if it performed so great in the box office simply because people could just watch it at TikTok.
I was going to mention that because some YouTube channels have literally said that, like, it's not a flop, but a...
bombing?
Yeah, it's not doing great.
I mean, it's because it's on HBO Max.
When you're going to release it on HBO Max, it's not going to perform as good.
You know. Yeah, so I think honestly, I think this is a great time to talk about it. I think that now, like, streaming services, or at least, you know, movie companies, are, like, doing away with the same-day streaming.
Dual release.
Yeah, dual releasing, because...
Well, that's good.
It started with Free Guy. Like, Disney's not doing any more of, like, the premium access things
Disney's
anymore.
Disney's not doing any more because they're getting sued.
Well, that's true. But yes. I think that that'll lead other companies... I mean, maybe not Warner Bros., but, like... If they're like, oh, well, I mean, people are going to the movies now. If we make them go to the movies, then we'll make more money.
Right. Yeah.
So I
think... more money, we'll send more stuff.
I think we're going to see dual releases kind of dwindling now.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to continue.
I mean...
It's a nice thought.
As I say this, as it's like, oh, we're going back to normal. Meanwhile, the Delta variant is ravaging the United States again. But
dual release strategy works for the time that we're in. But when the things that are happening with the actors happen, then it's not.
No, we've kind of.
It's not really a good strategy.
We've kind of had this discussion before. Like, I just think Disney's $30 premium price is just too damn
outrageous.
Much.
Yeah.
Like,
I can
I don't
see
have
the
a
argument.
Problem.
It's $7.99 for Disney Plus monthly. Okay. For double that, you get HBO Max and get all the movies dual release included in that price.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Disney Plus, you're doing it wrong.
Like,
you cannot expect,
like,
people to pay $30.
Like $15 or $20. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Like, I understand, like, the argument. It's like, oh, for, like, the kids' movies or whatever. Except they're not even, like, putting the kids' movies behind premium access.
Yeah.
Like, if they were putting Pixar behind premium access, that would make sense. But it's literally like, oh, those ones can go on there for free. And nobody's going to get, like, three families worth of kids in, like, together to watch fucking Cruella. Like,
which
nobody gives
a
shit.
That also is strange to me. And I've noticed this since 2020, is the Pixar movies and the Disney animation, well, maybe not Disney animation, but the Pixar movies, they're kind of like poo-pooing them away because they're just throwing them onto Disney Plus. Like, Luca wasn't a theatrical release.
Yeah.
Like,
neither was Soul.
Like,
that came out Christmas Day.
Yeah, it's almost like those are your money makers. Yeah. Those are the movies that people want to go see. Like, look at Boss Baby 2, how much money that movie made.
Yeah,
kids
want to
watch an
animated
movie. Yeah, they want to go to the movies. Parents buy, we know, parents buy hundreds of dollars worth of concessions just for all their kids to sit and watch this movie and pay all the tickets. Dude, you're losing money by throwing it on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like, you could do dual release that way, and if you want them to be free on Disney Plus, do that. But you're losing so much money by not putting them in the theater, which is just odd to me, because those movies are the ones that make them money.
Mm-hmm.
Not live-action Cruella or...
yeah.
Jesus. Not live-action Cruella or any of these other... Like, Mulan.
Yeah.
Nobody's watching that in the theater.
I still haven't watched that.
Nobody cares to watch that. But you're literally taking the movies that make you money, that made you who you are, and, like, going, nah, like...
Yeah, you'd think that they'd at least... Like, sure, put the Pixar movies on Disney Plus for free, whatever, that's your choice. You'd think that they'd at least want to do that with, like... You'd think you'd want to put it in theaters, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean.
I think they
do that dual release.
Do theatrical release.
Like, maybe the Jungle Cruise, like, that's under Premier Access, too. It's like, maybe that one people will buy, because, I don't know, it was pretty good in my opinion. But, like, nobody gives a shit about, like, Cruella or Mulan, Jungle Cruise. They want to see Pixar movies.
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand. It's like they're doing the opposite of what is reasonable to me.
Yeah. I think in general, moving forward, what they should do is give everything its theatrical release, you know, give it like 2 months, and then instead of waiting like 6 months for it to come to home video or whatever, throw it on like 2 months after its release.
Yeah, because...
Because people are still going to go see it if they want to see it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's what HBO Max is doing, because, like, one of the first ones, Godzilla vs. Kong, on the 17th, is going back on HBO Max
right.
for free. So, like, to me, that works well.
Mm-hmm.
That system works well, because you can wait. It's been, like, what, 6 months since that movie came out?
Yeah.
And but you can still watch it for free. You know it'll be back on there, because it's an HBO Max... Warner Brothers release,
mm-hmm.
so you can still watch it. Like, granted, Disney does that by, after a certain point, like, Black Widow will be in with the Marvel, the MCU library and all that. But nobody's paying $30 to watch it.
I mean, we did, just because we didn't want to go to the theater. But.
Well, that's fair. Well, I mean, I watched
I wouldn't have paid $35 for it, but that's just...
I saw it in the drive-in, and... Let me tell you, like, the picture was super dark.
Mm.
I couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see her dad's face until, like, when he
broke
into the light. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was bad, but...
I mean, I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. I guess that's all we had to say. A bit of a tangent there
Do we care to rate Suicide Squad, or...
I gave it a 4 out of 5 on Letterboxd, so
mm.
that's my rating.
I haven't made a post on it yet on there. I guess if we're basing it on that, before I write it, I'll rate it. Yeah, I'll disagree, 4 out of 5, yeah.
I'll concur.
Yeah.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, it's really good. A lot
it's
better
a
than
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
Goodbye.
We'll have the... That we'll put that on the DVD release, 4 out of 5. Geek Tavern podcast.
4 out of 5. My God.
Except it won't be like 4 stars. It'll be the number 4 out of, and then the number 5.
Number 4 out of number 5.
Except 5 is like spelled out F-I-V-E. 4 out of 5. It's just like the most fucked up looking.
Who the hell transcribed this?
Anyway, our next film we'll be talking about was a recommendation by Aaron, The Wrestler. From 2008.
Yeah.
I thought it was 2009 for a sec, but...
8.
Yes. pardon me.
Yeah.
So we'll just dive right into the synopsis here. Mickey Rourke gives the performance of a lifetime as pro wrestler Randy the Ram Robinson, a former superstar now paying the price for 20 years of grueling punishment in and out of the ring. But he's about to risk everything to prove he has one more match left in him, a restaging of his famous Madison Square Garden bout against the Ayatollah, which is the Iron Sheik. Like,
basically
the Iron Sheik. Darren Aronofsky directs a powerful cast in this action-packed saga of guts, glory, and gritty determination that is as irresistible as a headlock.
Hmm.
Pretty much sums it up.
I suppose. I just gotta...
All right, let's rate it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I
don't know. I didn't look up to see, because I didn't want to be persuaded one way or the other on people's feelings about this movie.
I know you don't like Mickey Rourke.
You'll be surprised to know. Let me start there since you brought it up. I actually really enjoyed him in this movie.
Yes, he's great in this movie.
Yes. The movie...
Don't get me wrong. He's a dick, but he's great in this movie.
Yeah. So, I didn't look up like what wrestling fans thought of this movie. So, I don't know if I'll get shit for it, but like... There's a lot of things I had problems with.
Yeah.
Like you just reading that there. 20 years, does he have another match in him? Jericho's on his 30th year. Like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess things are different now.
Yeah. Compared,
you know,
to, like...
Compared
yeah.
to what it was then
yeah.
in the 80s, I guess, but...
Yeah, because if you took him, like, in the 80s, and then he goes out, you know, hasn't wrestled... I mean, he's just doing, like...
I mean, he also has a heart problem, so
exactly,
that's a different
yeah.
thing. But
which is probably from abuse of PEDs.
That's true.
I feel like he was in the generation that, like, and I'm not talking bad on any of the wrestlers from that generation.
Yeah.
But nobody was taking prescribed by a doctor PEDs. They were all sharing in the locker room.
Yeah, that was a major problem. That was spot on.
Yeah, and that's why their hearts explode at 65 or 70.
But, I don't know. I was just like, I guess it's part of that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, hearing that in 2021, I'm just like, 20 years? Like,
oh, yeah.
That's nothing.
It's dating.
Cena's been wrestling for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like,
John Cena's 50, and he's still wrestling, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He just came back. He's wrestling for the title.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, like, you know, like we were talking about, he's rough. He's rough.
He is, yeah. Yeah.
So he's obviously like a Hulk Hogan stand-in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, kind of, yeah. Hogan never did any hardcore matches. Let me just jump into that where he has the heart attack. That's an actual company, CCW. And they do death matches. It's ridiculous.
Oh, like with all the... Like, that was with the barbed wire, the ladder.
Like, all that shit, they do that. Everything.
Oh, I believe it. I've seen matches like that before.
Jericho just did a match with they call him the king of death matches.
Oh, wow.
Nick Cage.
The Nick Cage?
No, or Nick Gage.
Oh. It seems like something Nick Cage would do, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean... That's also not out of the realm of possibility.
So that was one bit. So how much did he make for that fight? Like, Randy. Because, like...
Yeah.
So he is obviously... He's been doing these, like, low shows.
It looked like he made, like, maybe 500.
Yeah.
I tried to count it. I couldn't...
Yeah, they just hand him, like, an envelope that's, like, that thing.
Yeah, he's like, you deserved it, buddy. Anyway, so, like... Why is he doing this match? So the character, obviously, he's like, he lives to wrestle, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is so punishing to him. Like,
well, that's the thing, like, I didn't understand that even as a wrestling fan, because I'm like, nobody from the 80s is going to do a CCW match.
Like, that part of the movie, like, obviously, it's just, I think that's kind of to show, like, he's kind of like, obviously, that's the part where he has his heart attack. It's supposed to be like, this is like the wake-up call.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing this fucking ridiculous set.
Yeah.
And then he ends up having a heart attack.
I think that the reason why he's doing these types of shows is it's his ego. It's 100% his ego. And he thinks he's invincible.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks he can continue to, like, do all this stuff. And I think that's a part of his character is he's just like, I don't care, like, I can do it, like, yeah, put me in, I'll do it. And they're like, everybody's like, no, you can't, you physically cannot. And he's like, ah, fuck off, I can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I love,
like,
that
that's
aspect.
His ego.
Let me, I hate to bring up all the negatives because I did enjoy this movie, but the portrayal of indie wrestling in this, like, dudes can make money in indie shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people show up.
Oh, definitely.
These shows that they put on in here, like, and the meet and greet that they do.
Yeah, like the American Legion.
Yeah. Like four people showing up. Like, no, if you were a prominent person, you will get people.
Yeah.
Like, Hogan still does meet and greets, and people show up. Like,
that's one thing that I didn't really get about that scene.
And him living in a trailer, like, that whole thing, like,
So that was also, like, another part, like, that was obviously a part of his realization of, like, oh, I can't do this anymore, because he looks around, that one friend of his is, like, passed out.
Right.
Because of probably cranial damage.
Yeah.
And then the one guy's in a wheelchair, the dude has a catheter.
And there are cases like that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, people will show
like
up
that,
and support those people.
I would say, look at it like this, of him living, like, in his trailer and shit like that. Look at how Batista almost ended up.
Yeah.
Batista was at that level where he was going to be living, like, out of his car.
Yeah.
Like, let's look at Randy, like, that he was Hulk Hogan type guy.
Well, I think that's what they tried to
say
he was at the end.
But he's an outlier, obviously. Like, all of the guys that he wrestled with are probably, like, managed their money well and everything. He just kind of pissed it away, is what... Like, his whole character in this movie is a fuck up. Like, that's just his whole nature, and I think that's why he is where he is. Is because he, like, it has nothing to do with what he did in wrestling or anything. It's just his personality and how badly he screwed up his personal life.
I get
that's affected that. And he's holding on to wrestling because he thinks that's what makes him.
I guess the biggest thing is, like, if he is still actively wrestling, there would be way more money he'd be making.
Oh, yeah.
That's my problem, I think, is like, there is fans that go to these local indie shows, like, people make a living off of that, like, a good living.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I, like, so obviously, if he's supposed to be, like, this Randy the Ram, you know, he's supposed to be, like, this huge name at one point in wrestling, him going to, like, the VFW or whatever, like, you'd think that there would be tons of people, like, that would want to come and see him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm sure there's bad days for meet and greets or whatever, but, like, that just wasn't realistic to me.
Yeah.
And maybe,
I feel like
this was supposed to be, like, current time, like, 2008.
Yeah.
Like, indie wrestling was popping off at the time.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s, maybe that's what it was like for people that wrestled in the 70s. Like, probably nobody showed up to that.
Yeah.
But, like, in current time...
Oh, yeah. The nostalgia swings back around.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah, like 2008, like... Yeah. There'd be all kinds of money through meet and greet, through whatever. Like, so I don't know.
No, I totally understand what you mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, he seems more like an outlier. Like, maybe, I feel like there's a lot of factors behind the scenes that we didn't see.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he built a bad reputation for himself and people didn't want to hire him.
Well, he seemed very well respected, though.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, he still seemed very respected.
Yeah, I don't think he's being gypped or anything.
Oh, no.
But
yeah, like I said, I'm sure there's stuff that happened outside of the movie that we don't.
Yeah.
That something happened, but ultimately he's just a fuck up.
Well, the realism of his situation aside, it's obviously in favor of his character, you know, story.
Right, yeah. No,
like, his growth as a character, him realizing, well, I mean, he has a shift, double shift, in his character, where he's like, I can't do this anymore, I want to reconnect with my daughter, and then he fucks that all up again, and then he's like, you know what? And he was trying to get with Pam, you know, like, have an actual life, get a life together for himself, for, like, you know, respectable life. And then after that, he's just like, nobody fucking wants me.
Can't do that either.
Nobody fucking wants me. I screw up everything. The only place that I belong is in the ring.
Yeah.
And the one scene that I really liked, after he, like, decides he quit, and he's, like, taking the job at the deli or whatever, and he's, like, walking up, and you hear it's, like, the crowd, like,
Randy.
Randy. And then he just, like, walks through the deli counter, and then it just goes silent. I thought that was a great scene.
It was, yeah.
And whenever he's, like, actually working there and he's enjoying himself, you know, he's like, he's getting his life back on track, and then he fucking fucks it all up.
So I kind of didn't understand the point of him cutting himself.
He just,
or did he just want to feel something?
That was what I took that as. Like he just got so, like, not run down, but just realized that it wasn't for him.
Yeah, because I can't do this forever.
Because it was just so mundane, you know, day in, day out. And I think he just, that's what I took it as, is he just jammed it in there just to feel something.
Right,
to bust himself out of it.
Yeah, because I thought he was going to use it to, like, get back at the owner, like, I don't know, to get workers' comp or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
But then he just goes off and, like,
well, I think he would, because I think he would have done that, because he would have probably been fired for doing that. Like, if he had cut himself, they'd have been like, oh, well, you were told about this, like,
then there's legalities.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd have to pay him. But.
Yeah. But yeah, and then he ends up back in the ring for one final swing.
Yeah.
The movie is nice and open-ended for you.
So I didn't like that.
To imagine his obituary?
Well, it's to imagine... obviously
is... He's dead.
The film is led to believe, let the viewer decide whether or not he dies. I'm pretty sure the majority of people will come to the conclusion that he probably died.
He's dead.
But, nonetheless, the movie was open-ended.
I'll concede. It was open-ended.
I like to think that he at least won the match.
Well, he probably did the entire time fighting, like, the Ayatollah was like, all right, you know, we gave the show.
Oh, yeah, no, he's like, pin me, we're done, it's fine.
Yeah, because Randy, like, starts to collapse, because he's having a heart attack, and, like, goes down, and then the Ayatollah is like, he's like, Randy, he's like, hey, he's like, pin me, he's like, just pin me, like, we're good. And then, like, he knocked him off the ropes and then clotheslined him, and then the Ayatollah is like, he's like, just pin me, man. Like, we're done. And he's like, no. And, like, climbs up on the... Because everybody starts cheering.
Well, yeah, I mean...
It's the Ram Jam.
Yeah, that's... every wrestler has to if they're finished. Like, because the fans would call bullshit if, like, he pinned him off of a clothesline or whatever. Like,
why is this 70-year-old man not doing the Ram Jam?
Why isn't he jumping on the top rope?
Terrible finisher. Like, he should have changed that 10 years ago. Nobody from the 80s even did that kind of shit anyway, but...
I didn't even see it. This might just be him doing that, but getting up on the top rope, he's like shaking and shit, like he can barely stand on the rope.
Well, yeah, I mean, that does happen. The closest person was Macho Man. He did a flying elbow, but he didn't wrestle into the 2000s, you know? So, he didn't have to do that at that age.
He was doing Spider-Man.
He didn't get that opportunity.
I got you for 2 minutes.
For 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
3 minutes of playtime. It's my favorite Macho Man.
Yeah, ever. Yeah.
He should have come back into wrestling at that point as Bonesaw McGraw. Been great.
Yeah, he was retired at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was still in really good shape for being retired.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. We don't have to go into that. But, I like to think that he at least survived to win the match and got backstage and probably died.
I bet he died in the ring. Probably after the pin, though.
After the pin and the Ayatollah had to push him off.
That's probably what he would want.
Well, Maddox probably came out. So. Yeah.
So this year, this was the year... Mickey Rourke was nominated for the Oscar for this movie.
Yeah.
And I think he should have won it.
Yeah.
Because...
It was a hell of a performance.
Because love him or hate him, that performance was great.
Like, the scene with his daughter when they're on the beach
area. The pier.
Like, that was a...
No, he showed his acting chops.
Yeah, that was acting.
Yeah.
Like...
He did...
And kudos to the girl who plays his daughter, too, in the fuck you, get out scene.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's acting on her front, too. I don't know who she is, but...
She's the main girl in Westworld.
Oh.
That's right, she is, isn't it?
Sarah Wood or something like that?
Yeah.
Rachel Wood?
That's right. Rachel Wood, yeah. That's right, she is.
Interesting.
I knew I recognized her from somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't.
And then we have Marissa Tomei plays...
Cassidy / Pam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, she's a good character, too.
Yeah.
And she's just stripping to make a living for her son.
I've been enlightened on her, so.
Okay.
I didn't know she was that attractive, I'm just saying.
She isn't.
Haven't you seen Spider-Man?
Yeah, haven't you seen
Spider-Man? I mean, I knew she was attractive
Marissa Tomei is very attractive.
Yeah.
They tried to make her even less attractive in this movie.
Yeah.
Just, like, fit the character.
Yeah, they did kind of try... Yeah.
And then he, like, goes in to, like, beat up the bachelor.
Yeah,
party.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, we got the old lady. And he comes in and, like, tries to, like, beat them up.
That was funny.
That was funny.
That's a great scene, too, where she literally basically just quits. And she, like, goes to, like, run to Randy and be like... You're gonna die if you go in there, so, like, don't. And she's like, I'm here now, like, this is real, I'm here. And he's like,
see,
that's real.
Yeah.
You know what?
That was I didn't see that coming, like, to him to actually, like, no, I'm going out there.
I had a feeling, like, the first time I ever watched this, I had a feeling that's what he was going to do, just because he was, for however long that match went on, 15 minutes or whatever, he was in his glory days. Hmm. So, like, he was just back in it, breathing it all in, like, he was at home
yeah.
and at peace, and that's how he wanted to go.
I mean, that is how it is for a lot of wrestlers, at yeah. least that's how they, you know, describe
it. I mean, like, you could say that for anybody. Is like when they're
really.
In their when they're in their zone, like that's their home. That's what they want to do. That's where they want to be.
Yeah, goes for musicians. That you know.
Yeah.
Anything.
If they live by the ring, die by the ring.
I was
or in the ring.
I was a little surprised that, at least maybe I didn't know them all, but there was kind of a lack of actual wrestlers. The only two that I could pick out was the Ayatollah was. Ernest the Cat Miller. Nobody knows him.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ron the Truth Killings shows up as Ron the Truth Killings, apparently. I didn't know he was... I thought he was, like, a different
yeah,
character.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, like, they probably didn't want to saturate it with, like, a bunch of really recognizable wrestlers.
Yeah, but, like, the first locker room he walks into, I was like, ooh, who am I going to pick out?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know anybody. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of surprising.
I like how they kind of break it down, like, the business of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, okay, you guys are going to be doing this. Like, they run through the
set
list.
I don't think it actually works
probably
like that.
But then, like, they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, we'll do this and then you'll do that.
Like, yeah, like that stuff.
They do get together and
they get together and they plan out what they want to do and everything.
Unless you're super good, like, for example, Triple H.
Or well,
they
some
just call
of those,
it in the ring, like.
Yeah, and some of those matches too. Like I've read about, like I can't think of who it exactly was off the top of my head, but they handed them like the script, and all it says is so and so wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like they just
well, yeah,
go
sometimes
in and they're
just
like,
with
hey,
that, yeah.
let's go in and just do whatever.
Yeah,
and they're just like, hey, we'll run it for 15 minutes and then pin whatever, you know.
Yeah,
but. No, I feel like in wrestling, like, of course, Sheik and Hulk Hogan are, well, there are a couple, but...
Sheik,
Hulk Hogan, who am I thinking? Roman Reigns and Lesnar. There are, oh, and Cena and Lesnar. There are heated rivalries between
those
guys.
People...
But I feel like there's a camaraderie among most of them. Like, there's never any real, like, hard feelings or anything like that. Like, these guys are friends. They work together. Like, this is just what they do.
Yeah, there's definitely actual things, feuds.
Oh, I know Cena hates Lesnar, and Lesnar hates him. Some of that might be embellished, but I don't think that they like each other. He does not like Roman Reigns.
Brock doesn't like anybody.
No. No. And he hates Roman Reigns.
That's why he lives in... Saskatchewan, Canada,
in the middle of nowhere,
like
where he kills a moose and drags it back by himself. There's a video I'll show to you. He goes out and he's like hunting. He's like, "Oh, that's a beaut, isn't it?" And then like he literally just like grabs it and just like drags it
Do
through
you know
the
how
woods.
Big moose are.
It wasn't an actual moose. It was like an elk or something.
I was gonna say moose are fucking gigantic.
No, I know they're dinosaurs. They're living dinosaurs.
But this is Brock Lesnar.
This is Brock. Brock Lesnar is the Incredible
Despite
Hulk.
Brock Lesnar's size, I don't think he'd be able to drag a moose through the woods.
I don't know. He could probably get it pretty far.
Yeah.
Not buying it. Anyway. All
right. On the next episode, we'll talk about our theories on. We'll go in depth on can Brock Lesnar pull a moose across a football field. We'll start small.
Yeah.
I gotta respect Brock Lesnar. He's one of the only, like, wrestlers, professional wrestlers, that has managed to build a career in other, like, UFC. Like, I know CM Punk tried to do that, but he's not very good.
He was just too old.
Yeah. And obviously...
And like, didn't have, like, the background.
Yeah. Like, Brock Lesnar was a successful UFC fighter, and then, well, he was obviously wrestling first, then UFC, then he went back to wrestling.
Yeah. There was a time he wanted to go back to UFC.
Lesnar was my favorite wrestler for a while.
I mean, he doesn't really have any personality.
I bet there's more money in wrestling. Just
oh, there is.
The marketing.
No, Lesnar's simply just the... He's just a Hulk.
The people that give Lesnar shit for coming back to wrestling, because it's
fake.
I don't use the word fake. You know, staged or whatever.
Embellished, we could say.
It's acting.
Yeah. It is acting.
It's basically.
It's professional. It's physical stunt, acting. It's professional stuntmen.
There you go.
Entertaining stuntmen.
People gave him shit for coming back, but I'm like, you can't tell me that you make more in UFC.
No.
There's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big. It's a hot sport.
It's a hot sport, but how often do they do it?
And they're not selling toys. I mean, they are, but like they're not really selling merch like WWE is.
Well, and that's what I mean. You don't get a payout. You get a payout in UFC if you fight.
Mm.
Brock Lesnar can show up for 5 minutes on Raw.
Yep.
With Paul Heyman doing some big thing, and then they go, okay, see ya, gets a paycheck, comes back next Monday or Thursday or whatever. Like, he could work all week and just continuously make money, versus if they're like, ooh, Brock Lesnar's gonna fight this dude next August.
Yeah, they have to train for months.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
There's no money to be made. A prize fight, absolutely, but there's no money to be made. You could blow that all in a year. Like, what are you doing in the meantime?
I mean, Brock still wanted to do it. It just didn't work out with, I don't know. I don't know if, like, Vince couldn't make a deal with Dana White. I don't know the innards of it, but...
And I feel like it's steadier pay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ultimately, it's a better investment if you're...
Yeah, it's not really paid by appearance. In the contract, it'll state, like, you have to make X amount of appearance.
WWE takes their... Wrestlers like
I was gonna say,
pitch, so
not if you're Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, yeah.
No, the WWE. I'm assuming that they're similar to salary pay, like where they just have to show up to do certain things. See, but they're getting paid.
Each wrestler is actually an independent contractor.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah. Huh. It's a fucked up situation.
Vince
really.
Is a scummy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes
and
sense.
Now he's just
most of them. You know, they have to buy their own insurance, their own. You know.
Mike, you want to start a wrestling league?
I mean...
we could do it the right way.
The right way.
You gotta have some funds for that.
Yeah.
Alright, so we went way off course.
We did.
Yeah, I mean, we were still on topic. But...
Get meta again.
But yeah.
I don't know, I think we got to the real meat and potatoes of the movie.
Yeah, I mean... To be honest, like... You're just there for the ride. There's not, like, specific things to really talk about leading up. Like
the fight.
The meat and potatoes is, like...
The story.
The story of getting to that last fight.
Yeah, there's a steady build-up. The pacing of this movie also is very good. Nothing...
I thought it was a little slow in the beginning, but I think I just had to get...
Yeah, it was a little slow for me.
I had to get past the Mickey Rourke thing.
Yeah. But and the beginning is slow, but other than that, it's paced well. Like nothing seems unnecessary, shoehorned in, anything like that. Everything was pretty cut and dry. It was this is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like I watched this movie and I was like, this is great.
Is Mickey Rourke typically that? That fit, or did he?
I think that he is. Okay. Like, look at this, and then like Iron Man 2. Like he's the same. He
the dude like
just
the
stays
time,
in
I
shape.
Think, though,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Iron Man
couple was
years.
Later.
Yeah, 2 years later.
Right.
Was,
so it's 2010.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I know we said it when we watched Tenacious D, but I can guarantee that Mickey Rourke's character in Iron Man 2 was based off of Tim Robbins' character in Tenacious D, because they look and sound exactly the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't tell me I'm wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
We won't.
Thank you. Continue.
Rating?
Go for it.
I'll give it like a 7 out of 10. I wasn't like completely in love with it. I mean, I'll probably watch it again at some point in life, but I enjoyed it for what it was with the slight problems I had with it, but that's just me being a smart mark.
I'll echo that just simply because I enjoyed the movie, but I don't have the attachment to wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not a world I was ever really a part
of. For this
of.
Movie, it might be better.
Yeah. So, like, you bring up a good point. Like, for all I knew, that's how Well, with, like, I had trouble, like, being like, oh, this is a Hulk Hogan type. Like, obviously, he'll have, like, maybe it's just an outside perspective now, because it's even 20 years, 10 years after that fact.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no shot that he's going to be struggling the way that he is.
Right.
But, yeah. I mean, like, maybe that's how it was 10, 15 years ago.
I mean, there are guys, but, like, typically it's not the top guy. Like, they talked about him as if he was the top guy in the 80s.
And yeah, so that's one thing that was just hard for me to get come to grips with. But his emotional story is great. I really hate the fallout that he has with his daughter and Pam, and then his ultimate choice to just die in the ring, essentially. Yeah. Well, but that's a great story beat. So
the whole children of wrestling, like, that's typically the outcome, unfortunately, because they're on the road so damn much.
Well, this sucks. 9 out of 10.
I
love this movie. This is, like, I was telling somebody about this movie the other day, and I was like, yeah, it's in my top 10. I was like, this movie's great. Like, this is one of those movies that it's a surprise, because I picked up this movie at FYE for, like, $3. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard about this movie. Like, and I don't like Mickey Rourke as a person. I like him as an actor. Mm. So I was like, I'll watch this, you know. And it's one of those surprises where you put it in and watch it, and you're like, wow. Like, you're just blown away. This is one of those movies.
Yeah.
That's
basically my...
And every time I rewatch it, it gets better and better. Because, like, I watched it when I was probably 7 years ago that I first watched this. Now that I'm older, like, a lot more of the concepts in it, I understand a little bit more. Because I just picked it up to watch it, like, as a... it'll be fun to watch as Mickey Rourke wrestles. It's just an action type movie. No, and then it turned out to be more of a dramatic movie.
Yeah, it's definitely
which
more
caught
drama.
Me off guard, and I liked it even more. But yeah, this is a case where it's just one of my favorites.
Yeah,
that's why I recommended it. It's, like I said, 9 out of 10.
Well, we picked a pretty appropriate time to review this movie because there's a new show called Heels, starring Steve Amell.
I thought it was also a movie.
It's a show.
Yeah, okay. It's a show.
No, I thought it was a movie.
Not that we're sponsored by it, but if
by our good friend Stephen Amell.
Yeah. But so that it really just got me ready for that premiere this Sunday. So.
Oh, that's this Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Well, by the time this airs, it'll already be out. But
yeah.
Yesterday. How do days work?
Yeah, it comes out yesterday.
All right, there you have it. 2 movies down. And it's time for a recommendation from myself. And I think I'm going to recommend 2 movies this time once. They're both documentaries. We had a discussion about it. So obviously, the one I'm pretty sure you guys know what it is. We're going to watch Val.
That's what I thought.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I want to watch that.
Which you can find on Amazon Prime. It's a
Prime original, actually.
It's a documentary that Val Kilmer just, like, documented his life throughout making movies. So we'll watch that. And then the other one is called The Donut King.
Oh, cool. Oh, I heard about this, too, yeah.
It's about...
That's actually what I thought
we were
talking about.
It's about a Vietnamese man who basically invented the donut in America.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. That was actually the one that I thought, when we were talking about it, we thought we knew what it was.
I thought it was Val.
Val never popped into my head at that point.
So collectively, we knew.
We all knew.
So, I don't know how you get spoiled from the documentaries, but if you want to be a part of the discussion, make sure to check out Val and the Donut King before our next episode. I hope you enjoyed our discussion about The Wrestler and The Suicide Squad. We sure enjoyed talking about it. Make sure to like and subscribe, comment down below, all that fun stuff, and we'll catch you guys in the next one. Later. Oh, yeah!